Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
So about 2 years ago, right after our daughter Lily was born, my wife Rebecca and I, we were walking Lily around Tel Aviv. That's where we live. That's where she was born. And we were talking politics. And we were talking about Bibi, and we were talking about how he was a prime minister for way too long, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to get into that too much, but we were talking. We both agreed on that. That's when Rebecca said to me, she said, you know, something, I'm paraphrasing, she said, you know, something is going to have to change in the status quo between Israel and the Palestinians, because it can't keep going on like this. This is 2 years ago. So I brushed that comment off at the time. And because I'm always, my attitude was always live and let live. I always, just like most Israelis, I lived in Israel since I was a kid. And just like most Israelis, I thought, what's going on now is working. We have quiet, and every few years there's a skirmish that's far away from where we were. And then a few more quiet years, then another skirmish, a few more quiet years, another skirmish. And that's how the status quo was happening. And, you know, everybody knows they get money, the Hamas, who were the rulers of Gaza, they get money from foreign nations. That money's probably going toward building different terror tunnels, probably. But that's the price that we pay for quiet. That's the status quo. That's the status quo. That's how we were living up until October 6th. And we were thinking, what's the worst that can happen? Well, we know what happened. And so I should have listened more intently to what Rebecca was telling me. And in fact, I think that we all could have tried a little bit harder, all of us, to realize that we were in an insane scenario. Just like Albert Einstein was coined by saying, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And we can learn more about this insanity, actually, in our new book of Torah that we're starting this weekend. We're starting the book of Shemot. Exodus, we're starting the parsha is called Shemot, and we're introduced to Moses, to baby Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, who will be soon, and Moshe was born into a world of turmoil, to people who were enslaved for hundreds of years. That's what they knew. They didn't yet even realize that they were a people, and that was the life that they knew at the time, and he himself wasn't even supposed to be born because of Pharaoh's decree that any son born to the Israelites shall be thrown in the Nile. And this is the insanity that we're thrown into as readers. So it's through a series of female leaders that Moses survives and makes it all the way to the palace. And we're told by our sages, by our rabbis, that Bischar Nashim Tzadkaniot Shehayu Be'oto Ador Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. In other words, it's due to righteous women of that generation that Israel was delivered from Egypt. And we read about those women in our Torah portion. In Midrashim, doesn't say it explicitly, but in Midrashim, it tells us a longer story of Miriam, Moshe's sister, of Miriam's bravery. And even before Moses was born, she told her father, according to this Midrash, her father was scared and decided, we're not going to have kids at all because of this decree. We can't take this chance. We're not going to have kids at all. And she, according to that story, told him that he is worse than Pharaoh, so that he's worse than Pharaoh by doing that, because he's saying he doesn't want men or women to be born. And this convinced him and he and Yocheved that they shouldn't give up and they should bring more Israelite children into the world. And you think about Yocheved also, who under such extreme circumstances, she had decided to have this baby. And we're told about also two midwives, this says it in our Parsha, Shifra and Pua, that who not only defy Pharaoh by not killing newborn sons, but they creatively cover it up by saying that the Israelites are like animals and they have kids without midwives. It's crazy. They're just crazy. They're like just... And so they cover up the whole thing. And later, Miriam continues her creative thinking by following the basket with the baby in the Nile and risking her life by suggesting to Pharaoh's daughter, who found him that she knows of a mother who just gave birth and who can be a wet nurse for this child. Pharaoh's daughter Batya is one of these righteous women who was no dummy and probably recognized this. They probably recognized that this was an Israelite baby. And she ends up raising this child as her own, regardless of his nationality. Moses' entire existence was made possible due to the bravery and creativity of women who saw ways to do things differently. We are living in a time where we have to start thinking differently. I'm completely awestruck when I hear of the bravery of women on 10/7, October 7th. For instance, Rachel Edry, Isha Tzadkanit from Ofakim. Her bravery didn't include physical strength of fighting in the field. She recognized the traditional needs of the terrorists who came into her home and entered her and her husband's place, and she made them food and hosted them and distracted them for hours until forces came in to save her and her husband. When President Biden came to Israel, he went to meet her. Or what about Inbal Lieberman, also Isha Tzadkanit, who served as security coordinator in kibbutz Nir Am, and she heard strange noises outside the kibbutz. Assessing the significance of the threat, she quickly distributed weapons among the 12 members of the quick response group, the Kitat Konenut, and manned by residents of the kibbutz. And thanks to her actions, Nir Am was the only community bordering the Gaza Strip that did not suffer Israeli casualties during Hamas's invasion of Israel. Or what about Or Livni Ben Yehuda, an infantry commander in the IDF, that on Saturday when Hamas attacked, she commanded the force that managed to stop 15 heavily armed terrorists and prevented them from overrunning another Israeli community. Or recently freed Israeli hostage, Yarden Roman Gat. Her story was fascinating. Hamas took her husband, and 3-year-old daughter from their home, and they escaped the car that was taking them into Gaza, which stopped suddenly, and they managed to escape the car. And through an instinct of ingenuity, she handed her daughter to her husband, knowing that he would run faster than her. So he handed her daughter, and she was captive. She was released just in that last return of hostages. And she sacrificed herself, and she was immediately retaken. We are living in a time where we have to start thinking differently. We're living in a time where we need new and innovative leadership. They're talking about this in Israel now. As I told you, I check YNET about 10 times a day, and I've switched. I haven't listened to Howard Stern in 2 months, and I've only been listening to podcasts, Israeli podcasts, trying to tune in and trying to be part of my community in Israel. They're talking about it now, about this new leadership, especially as we're entering what they call phase two of the fighting. They still have 136 hostages in Hamas captivity. Israel's starting to talk about who they want to be the day after. I'm listening to Noam Dan. She is a civilian who is related distantly, a distant relative of one of the hostages. And she speaks in the news and in the Knesset every day, advocating that we need to flip the narrative. She says, first of all, get all of the hostages home. She says, we're a nation that seeks and believes in life. And we need to come up with a deal that they can't refuse, she says. Think creatively. There'll be a time to take down Hamas. There was a time to take down Hamas before 10/7. And due to stagnated leadership, never happened. Now is the time to preserve life. That life is in Gaza. They're living in Gaza. All these hostages, captive for almost 100 days. Want to know what to do, she says? Put women in the war cabinets. Place people who think differently. The families of the kidnapped are afraid to say this out loud. They want to support Israel any way they can. And they're afraid to say it out loud because what if Israel goes against that? What if they go against bringing hostages home? What if what they want is first to topple Hamas? The people who need to say it out loud are actually us. You and me people here, people in Israel, people who were kidnapped are, the people who were kidnapped to Gaza, they're a lot closer to the, it could have been you and it could have been me than we think. It could have been any of us. They are Israel. They're not just captives. They are Israel, those people. They're Jews. They're not only Israelis and Jews. They're just anyone that happened to be there. And she says, we're always led by Hamas, who want to destroy us. We are the ones who need to lead. And the people in Israel are beginning to say, think what Hamas wants us to do, and let's do the opposite. A mother of a kidnapped 18-year-old who was at the Nova Festival said that one of the things that bothers her the most is that there are no mothers in the war cabinet. One of the themes that's always repeated are the two main war objectives: obliterate Hamas and bring home the hostages. We need more points of view. We need to think more creatively. We're the ones who need to put as much pressure as possible to bring them home. Kfir Bibas, the baby in captive, he turned one a few days ago. Where are Yocheved and Miriam and Shifra and Pua today? We're living in a time where we have to start thinking differently. We're living in a time where we need new and innovative leadership. We're living in a time where we need to learn from our parsha. We need to shut up and listen to women. But that's not enough, sadly. Women can't do this alone. We need to listen and support. We need to stop thinking there's only one way of doing things. I learned about my ADHD over the years that trying harder is not a cure. It's what I was told when I was a kid and undiagnosed. I was told, try harder and you do better. It never works. Never works to try harder. The cure might be trying differently. That might be. Rabbi Dayan said last week about her visit to Israel. She said that Israel is not in PTSD right now. It's not post anything, she said. It is in the trauma, living the trauma, and it will still be in that trauma until hostages are returned home. Now, I know what you're thinking. I do. I know what everybody's thinking right now. I know that some of you are thinking that what kind of deal could there be? We'll release terrorists 10 years from now. You're not wrong. I'm not wrong. I might be wrong. I'm definitely wrong. I don't know the answers. And this is not a zero-sum game. If we just follow the rules of the Egyptians at the beginning of this parsha, there would be no people of Israel. It's the creative thinking of Nashim Tzadkaniot, the righteous women, that freed us from captivity. I pray that we follow what this Torah portion is telling us, and that 2024 will be a year of trying differently, of creative thinking, and of listening to each other. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.